vivo qualitative data analysis software empowers researchers around the world to discover rich insights within their qualitative data. This podcast gives you unique insights into the methods, the processes, and the passions of researchers. Welcome to the InVivo podcast, Between the Data.
Thanks for joining us today. I'm Stacey Penna, the Engagement and Enablement Director at LumaVero. Today's podcast is with Dr. Young-Hee Saw, professor in the Department of Teaching and Learning at Old Dominion University. We will be discussing her research study, Planning to Teach Difficult History Through Historical Inquiry, the Case of School Desegregation. Welcome, Young-Hee. Thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure, Stacey. Thank you for inviting me for the discussion.
Well, as a former middle school social studies teacher, I'm very excited for the discussion.
Great. Yeah, I look forward to it.
So how does your former teaching experience as a middle school social studies teacher influence your research?
Before doing my PhD, I was a middle school social studies teacher like you. And that experience really influenced my research, especially how I understand my research participants and how I interact with them. So when I say difficult history, that means a history that involves contested, painful, and violent past that may challenge the story of progress in any national history. It also creates a sense of recognition and acknowledgement between those who study and who study the past and those in the past that are represented. And I think because of that nature, it really evokes emotional, moral, and intellectual responses among those who study the past. So as a former middle school teacher, I actually really tried hard to incorporate those difficult histories in my teaching. So I do understand the intimate emotions teachers may feel, such as anxiety, fear, and excitement, right? And intellectual curiosity and challenges when they teach those difficult histories, because I have been in their shoes before.
Yeah, definitely. So why did you decide to research how teachers teach difficult history?
Well, that really goes back to time. I've been always interested in teaching and researching about difficult history. I was born and raised in Seoul, Korea. I also went to K-12 school in South Korea. As you may know, South Korea, even if it really enjoys economic success nowadays, the country itself really went through difficult histories. So for instance, for the first half of the 20th century, Korea was colonized by Japan. And also, Korea went through Korean War in 1950s. So growing up in South Korea, I really witnessed those difficult histories, not only emotionally and personally impact those who live in the 21st century, but also it creates domestic and international controversies regarding how these difficult histories are represented in the curriculum and taught in schools. So I think that interest continued when I moved to the United States. And most of all, I was very fortunate to garner this grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. And using this grant, I was asked to develop and provide a teacher professional development on the topic of school desegregation. So through this grant, what we did was invite 72 secondary social studies teachers across the country per iteration and help them develop a deeper understanding of the topic and learn to teach this difficult history. So that professional development was offered in 2015 and 2017, and we just finished our third iteration of the professional development in the summer of 2021. And designing, implementing, and researching around that professional development really gave me an opportunity to think about how to teach difficult histories and research on teachers learning to teach difficult histories.
Great, thank you. Can you describe the conceptual framework you use for your study?
That's a great question. Because we spent quite time to build the conceptual framework. So we used the two lines of research for our conceptual framework. So one was from the historical scholarship on the history of school desegregation in the United States. There has been important research done in the discipline of history on how schools have been desegregated in the United States since Brown v. Board of Education decision. So we wanted to use historical scholarship to make the case of school desegregation as a difficult history. And another line of research, of course, was research on historical inquiry in social studies and history education. And more specifically, we wanted to use historical dimensions in inquiry, such as causation, changing continuity, multiple perspectives and sources. But more importantly, we were using the, if you are familiar, Stacy, because you have taught social studies, there is a framework called the College, Career, and Civic Life Framework, sponsored by National Council for Social Studies. And of course, this framework was based on research on historical inquiry, but at the same time, it gears toward different audience, such as the state, who updates its own social studies curriculum standards, and practitioners, including local school district, curriculum writers, and the teachers. So by using these two lines of research and the C3 framework, we really wanted our conceptual framework to address both theoretical and practical aspects of teaching difficult histories.
You know, that's very interesting. And like you said, in the article, it really explains the conceptual framework quite well, I think, for people.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you.
So what research method did you use?
Well, at this point, I really want to note that the specific study that I'm talking about today is the part of the large project. And I co-authored this study with Dr. Brian Doherty. He is an associate professor and historian of Virginia Commonwealth University. And Dr. Danielle Hartsfield, she is also associate professor of the University of North Georgia, and her research expertise is in critical literacy. So three of us used qualitative content analysis to really see how teachers who completed 1 week summer teacher professional development on the topic of school desegregation plan to teach school desegregation as a difficult history.
This podcast is sponsored by Lumavero, developers of Invivo and other software designed by and for data experts to illuminate powerful new insights that help customers make decisions with confidence. If you're looking for a better way to analyze and manage your qualitative data, try using Invivo with the 14-day trial.
How did you collect your qualitative data?
So through the three iterations of our professional development, we used lesson plans created by teacher participants of the, not the most recent one, but the two previous iteration of our professional development workshops that took place in 2015 and 2017. And a lot of people ask us questions about why you used a lesson plan as a data source. So first, we figured that because when teachers plan their teaching, lesson planning is really the initial, the essential part of their planning. And also, while they are planning, they need to make a choice of the kind of learning task they need to do when they implement their lesson. So we consider it as a common core practice in teaching. So, and second, also, lesson plans were final product of our curriculum project session at the end of each work day of each workshop. And curriculum project session, what our workshop participants did was they work with archivists and they think about lessons that they can use primary sources. So we consider the lesson plans really represent the learning outcomes these teacher participants generated out of our program. And also, we really wanted to recruit the teachers who are committed to teaching difficult history. And for us, submitting this final lesson plan was all voluntary. So the final lesson plan submission was really the evidence we can use to make a case. These teachers were really committed to teach difficulty history. So the number of lesson plans really shows these teachers were committed because over the three iterations of our program, we had 140 teachers participated in the program, but only 66 submitted their lesson plans. And also we purposely selected 23 lesson plans using the selection criteria that we created.
How did you analyze this data? You know, lessons plans, I'm sure it was just a lot of text that you had to go through.
Yes, it was initially it was challenging. And NVivo was very helpful. So I'm going to talk about it too. So we used, we were very careful in terms of using lesson plans as our main data source. So our data analysis consists of three parts. So first, Dr. Brian Doherty, because he's a historian, we really would like to use his perspective when we build our coding categories. So Dr. Brian Doherty and myself as an educational researcher, we built concept-based coding categories based on historical scholarship on school desegregation and research on historical inquiry. And then, as most of qualitative researchers do, Dr. Doherty and I independently coded one-third of our data using the initial coding categories. And then we met and discussed all the data and the coding that we did and develop a consensus. So once we get to the consensus, I entered all the data into NVivo and coded the remaining data using the coding categories we finalized. So during that process, I was really able to identify some themes and patterns across the lesson plans. But Dr. Doherty and I were also project directors as well. So we could bring in our own biases and perspectives as we create our coding categories and interpret the findings that we have. So in the final stage, what we did was we invited Dr. Danielle Hartfield. Her expertise is critical literacy, and she is she has a deep understanding about history of school desegregation, but she doesn't have any intimate knowledge about our program. So to really ensure the reliability of our findings, we invited Dr. Danielle Hartfield and have this peer debriefing session to discuss the methodology and the interpretation of our initial findings.
As you mentioned, you used NVivo. So what were some of the ways NVivo helped you with the analysis?
So as you noted, Stacy, lesson plan is messy data. And especially, we do not want to give any teachers the kind of template or format that they use when they talk about their planning. So, and NVivo came in very nicely when we get organized about our data. So NVivo was very helpful in terms of organizing data and displaying data systematically. So especially for our research team, it was really helpful segmenting data into a meaningful unit of coding. So when we first decided to use the lesson plan, individual lesson plan as a unit of analysis, we were not sure what we should consider as a unit of analysis. Since, like I said, we did not require any format or template for the teachers to use. So their planning was like free writing. But once initial coding categories were developed, and entire data was entered in NVivo. And because NVivo was so well organized and displayed, I was able to see the patterns in our participants' planning, meaning regardless, each school district used different kind of template, right? So because and one of the rationale why we didn't ask them to use a specific template was really want the teachers to use what they plan in our program in the future, in their real classroom. So we didn't ask any specific template, but what we found was that regardless of any format that they use, there are always components of planning, including essential questions, data standards, goals and objectives, informative and summative tasks. So we were using those key components as unit of coding so that we could really code the data in a systematic manner and find out the patterns and tell the stories about what our participants learn about school desegregation and plan to teach about the topic.
What were your findings?
So after 1 week intensive professional development, our research participants were able to create lessons that not only teach the achievement of the Brown versus Board of Education decision, but also question the effectiveness of the Brown decision. So they were able to include intended and unintended consequences of the Brown decision. The previous research suggests that the teachers are most likely to represent Brown as one of the iconic achievements in U.S. history to promote democracy. But to our participants, Brown's decision was no longer one of the biggest democratic achievements in U.S. history. It was more a beginning of the long civil rights movement.
We'll take a quick break from the episode. To learn more about Dr. Saw's research, go to the website The Long Road from Brown, School Desegregation in Virginia.
How did you consider researcher insider positioning? You talked about that in the paper.
So I, as a former middle school social studies teacher, I positioned myself as an insider to the group I study because I know somehow the process of teacher planning and teaching. And also I was the program director for the teacher professional development and designed and implement the program. So I know well the logic behind the program. So in that regard, I consider myself as an insider. But at the same time, I'm very careful to position myself as an outsider, because the topic our program is representing is school desegregation, and I am outsider to live the experience of African-American communities. So whenever I do research and talk about what we found, I'm trying to be very conscious about the kind of bias that I might bring into my research. So I am maintaining a critical reflection of my own positionality and its impact on my research process.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thanks for sharing that. So based on the study's findings, what are some key takeaways for teachers when teaching difficult history? What would you advise teachers?
That's a great question. I spent some time to think about that question. The school desegregation is not the only topic when we think about difficult history. So the topics can be slavery, the Holocaust, genocide, and so many much more. And it really depends on how teachers contextualize and situate the topic for students, right? And if the teacher is really willing to teach about these difficult histories, I would really encourage them to know how the difficult history of their interest is covered in the state standards and the curriculum. So what kinds of story the state standards and curriculum tell, whose perspectives are represented and whose perspectives are missing. So once the teachers figure out the type of story represented in the standards and curriculum, and as well as the gap in the standards and curriculum, I think teachers be able to know where and how they can fill that gap for themselves and students. And also, more specifically about the topic of school desegregation, I would really recommend teachers to look into their own community and how the process of school desegregation was like in their own community. So in another follow-up study that we did, we had one research participant who teaches at a predominantly white affluent community. And before participating in our program, he thought that there was no dramatic event in their community in terms of school desegregation. So, and then once participating in the PD, the teacher did his own research with the school librarians, and learned that there was indeed a process of school integration in their own school. So the school, in fact, a few years ago, they invited the first African-American students and recorded the interviews with those students. Mm. He wasn't just paying attention. The teacher was not paying attention. So the teacher then used the recordings as a source for students to engage the difficult discussion about how desegregation happened in their community and the school. So maybe you're not paying really attention, but I strongly recommend to take a look at your local community and see what was going on in 1960s and how schools desegregated in your community.
No, I really like that. I love using primary sources like that. And it's great that they used primary sources and, using interviews with people, because that really, mm-hmm. I think for students brings it alive for them. Mm-hmm. So my last question is, what's one piece of advice you would give researchers studying how teachers teach?
I would like to share one piece of advice that my mentor in the doctoral program shared with me. So at the time, I was doing research on how secondary social studies teachers use art in their teaching. So among the three research participants, there was one teacher whose teaching I did not really agree with. So when I shared with my thoughts on his teaching with my mentor, she just smiled and told me, "Hey, judging the teacher's work is not your job. Your job as an educational researcher is really understand where their teaching comes from, that is why they do what they do and how they do." So since then, understanding teachers' perspective instead of judging has been a golden rule for me when I do research on teacher practice. So I'm hoping other researchers also find that advice helpful when they do their research on teachers and teaching.
Great. No, that's very good advice. Thank you. Thank you for that. So thank you, Youngki, for talking with us. And thanks to those tuning in. Listeners, if you learn more about how to teach difficult history, we'd appreciate your support by rating and subscribing to the NVIWA podcast. This helps us to share these amazing narratives with the researcher community. So thank you, Youngki.
Thank you so much, Stacey.
Thank you for joining us for Between the Data. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to hear more about NVIWA podcasts and community events, please visit go.nvivobyqsr.com/community or email me, Stacey Penna, at s.penna, P-E-N-N-A, @qsrinternational.com.